And there's my father. Of course there's my father. Seriously. Hi, Dad, I'm recording.
Oh, you mean literally he's there now.
Yeah, I'll call you back. Bye. Oh my God. He can see me.
He's like, are you doing your thing? I don't know if you could hear him.
Yeah, are you doing your thing? That's what I heard him say.
That's my father.
I love it.
Hey everyone, welcome to Gen X Stories, a podcast about how the so-called lost generation found itself. We are your hosts, Eve, Courtney, Lori, and Chris. On today's second to last episode of season two, we are talking about summer vacations and travel. The ones we went on as kids, or if you got dragged to them by your parents, the ones we enjoyed as we grew up, where you went pre-COVID, and what we're looking forward to now that things seem to be opening up a little bit. All right, guys, on with the show. Hey, y'all.
Hi, Eve.
Hi, everyone.
I feel like I'm getting more and more Southern, which doesn't make any sense. The y'all is really freaking me out. I don't know. So not Southern, but hi. So who amongst us, and I have a good idea, who amongst us is a traveler?
Yeah, I'm going to do the Monica. I am. I'm ready. What do you want to know? The good, the bad, and the ugly.
When you were growing up, did you become a traveler because of your parents? I know that you lived abroad.
Yeah. I think living abroad as a kid changes your perspective. And it really made me curious, made me really aware of different communities and different possibilities and a different way of life that was both sometimes strange, sometimes wonderful, sometimes hard, sometimes amazing. And then when we were abroad, we would travel every summer, but we weren't expensive traveling. Like I didn't fly a lot of airplanes as a kid. My kid has flown on more airplanes in his short life than I probably have in my whole lifetime. But we were like in the car driving around, in the car driving through Europe and things like that. Usually tied to my dad's work, and we would go visit places, and we weren't staying in expensive hotels or anything, like whatever pension or whatever was affordable.
What's the European equivalent of Motel 6?
At the time, because we're so old, it wasn't so much about the Motel 6. It was everyone had like a pension. Like people had rooms to rent in their homes. So it was just very like organic and down to earth, and you're sort of with the local. So I think that sort of planted the wanderlust bug in me. And then I actually enjoy travel. Like I wish I had a job where I could go move somewhere that wouldn't upset family and friends, but I could move somewhere like every 3 months or every 6 months and like go experience a different culture and like be in it. I mean, ideally go for a year, but explore that culture and get to know it. And then go try something else. Like to me, that would be amazing.
I actually have a friend who is doing exactly what Courtney said. She's, I think, our age, and she quit her job. She sold her house. She is traveling all over. Not necessarily backpacking, but econo packing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
She was in Turkey for like 3 weeks, and then she went to so-and-so, and then she came and she went to Mexico for a month, and then she's going to Hawaii for a month.
She's truly like just sort of wherever the fancy takes her, she's going.
It's exactly right.
Okay, the difference between that and me is that I want to get paid. There you go. I want to get paid to do this job.
So Chris, what's your history of family vacations and getting into travel early?
Well, the first thing that I remember back to was that my family and I went to Disney. I grew up in outside of Chicago, and we went to Disney World the year that it opened. So it was just my two parents and my elder brother and myself. This was before my other two siblings came along. Oh. And it was fancy because we actually flew first class, and I grew up in a very middle class kind of existence, but you had to wear jackets, and they had the seats that faced each other with the table in between. It was fantastic.
Oh my God.
And you went to Disney World, and it was, you know, just amazing. This was 71 or I don't know, 73 or something like that. And then I had two more siblings, so that wrecked all of that. So after that, everything was in a car, or specifically I think it was a Mercury wagon with paneling on the side.
I was going to say, I bet somebody had a wood paneled wagon in this group.
Yep. And with the two seats that flipped up in the way back. So it was that. And we spent a lot of time. I think we went to Florida a couple more times. And then we used to go and visit friends in Colorado, which the first time is exciting, the drive. Anybody who's driven across the country or through the center of the country, the first time it's okay. The fourth time it's not, because somewhere between the Missouri River and Denver, there is nothing to see. And if you're not driving, there is nothing to do. You can't even play the little bingo cards that you get that you flip up and down. The interstate highway system, which I believe was developed by Eisenhower because of the war. I'm getting it. Courtney
says yes. Our historian says yes.
It certainly made it a lot more efficient to travel between towns, but nothing to see. I mean, I would get excited about seeing if anybody's ever driven through Nebraska, I think the road turns twice.
Oh, shit.
happens.
And I think they
don't get lost.
I think they do it just to sort of keep people awake. But I would just get excited about seeing little lakes by overpasses. And I didn't realize that the only reason that there were lakes by overpasses is because it was so goddamn flat, they actually had to dig a lake to build the overpass.
Oh my God.
I've alluded to this before. It became this obsession with my dad, and I love my dad, but dad works all day and we got to get up. He's going to load the truck and we got to leave at 2 a.m. somewhere between 2 and 4 to beat the traffic. So that meant pulling the kids out of bed and we'd be thrown in the way back, laying on like some foam rubber thing, that yellow foam. And it was hot and there'd be a sheet over it. And we'd just take off westward. This is a true story and an actual phobia I have. I remember waking up like sweaty and I was stuck to the foam.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I have like a huge aversion to that type of foam. Like if I touch it, I get like the heebie-jeebies from it, which in my work makes it a little more difficult. But
yeah. I assume you have to
do a lot of things on a foam. And
so you
and
do not have a memory foam mattress. You have a spring mattress at home. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And then we started pulling a camper. That's always fun. Although the heater would never heat the camper. We're in Colorado and we're up at altitude in Estes Park or something like that. Or Leadville, which was like 10,000 feet, it got really effing cold.
Weren't you like too much altitude sickness to even realize you were cold? Like, was this a Donner Party moment?
Yeah, we're going to eat my little brother. Sorry, Matt.
Or at least heat him up.
Exactly. It was really fun. There was a lot of really wonderful things about it, but there's no GPS back then. So you got the road atlas out.
And, map. You know, you had to have a map, a real map.
Dad wants to take a shortcut through the mountains because they used to live out there and he kind of remembers and it goes wrong. And my mom starts having a meltdown. We're just in the back seat, just hoping that it all blows over, eating whatever we ate back then. And then on the way back, it was like, inevitably, mom's like, we're not camping anymore. We're staying in a motel because she had had it. And it happened every trip.
So that's how you spent your summers, that you would do that thing.
And then we do that. And it was fun. It was great. And my dad at the time, they didn't sell Coors beer on this side of the Mississippi, on the east side of the Mississippi. So he used to take the seats out of the way back and he'd bootleg Coors back and bring it to his buddies as well. So...
So you'd be sleeping on a stinky mattress on top of the Coors in the back.
Let's clarify this. This was not a family trip. This is a glorified beer run.
Yes, exactly. But it was a lot of fun. I always remember that we stopped in Kearney, Nebraska on the way, which is
what's there?
A place to camp.
Big ball of string or something.
Yeah.
Did you stop at any fun places?
There's no fun places. There was one time we did a northern route. Here's what's not exciting to a 9-year-old. Mount Rushmore. It's not exciting.
It would be exciting to me.
It's very underwhelming.
By the way, Kearney is considered the Sandhill Crane capital of the world, and it's where the Heartland gathers.
I looked it up.
All I know is that when we moved out to Los Angeles and we drove across the country, we stopped in Kearney, Nebraska, because I knew where it was.
Aww.
And we had Arthur Treacher's fish and chips. And I can tell you, don't buy fish in the middle of
these are the things that you also learn as you're traveling across the country.
Also, I don't know if has anybody, you can raise your hands, been to the Four Corners Monument. Lori, tell us about the Four Corners, how amazingly underwhelming it is.
I totally don't even remember it. I just know I was
right.
There.
This would be exciting. It's not. It's a slab of granite and you can stand in four states at once. And it's not an easy place to get to. So you're at least driving an hour out of your way. I must have been 12. Even more underwhelming.
Because you were like excited. You're 12. You're like, we're going to go somewhere. They see something cool and it's just literally a line in the sand.
You're literally in four states at one time, right?
But here's the rub. You're not, because it's actually in the wrong place.
What?
But that's what they, I mean, yeah. They missed it. How far did they miss the actual?
I don't
know. Exactly in the right place. And there's nothing there. It's like you think, well, maybe there's like a game room because you're 12. Play some Pong. Okay.
That being underwhelming, and you're not impressed with ginormous sculptures made in the mountains and flat non-granite. Both don't impress you.
No, but they're not.
What can impress you?
They're not that big. They're huge. I expected like the Matterhorn. This thing is going to be looming over me. These giant heads filling me with awe from the
distance.
How
big do they have to be, big guy?
I'm 8 years old.
Yeah, so this is the 8-year-old's perspective.
Yes,
of seeing Mount Rushmore. We did a national park thing with my son. And and we did Yellowstone, and we went to Mount Rushmore. And it was fun to see it both through his eyes and as a grown up. I don't want to sound corny, but like, it is amazing how big our country is. It is amazing how many different experiences you can have throughout this entire nation. And most people never get interesting things. So a chance to explore all that diversity in those, I'm just constantly amazed.
How old was the child when you came on this? Nine. So he was Chris's age.
Good age. Right.
No, I was a jaded eight.
You came out of the womb jaded.
There's great diversity and there's amazing, beautiful things to see. But there are parts of the country that like we could just, we don't
skip.
There's a way that we could just get on a high speed train and zip through those. Like Eastern Colorado, there's nothing to see. The trip down to Carlsbad Caverns, which is absolutely quite wonderful. And the bats that come out are amazing. If you remember at the time, I think it was Nixon, because they had rolled back the speed limit. It was 55. Nebraska, like Pennsylvania, that's 8-9 hours to get across that.
You need some Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
Can't drive.
What was travel like for you when you were young?
My mom was an army brat. When I was little, like before my brother was born, they lived in El Paso, Texas. And then my dad's parents moved to Arizona outside of Tucson. And then eventually my mom's parents landed in New Mexico. So I spent many a summer driving to Tucson, driving to El Paso, driving to New Mexico.
Same issue as Chris, that there's nothing to see, or was there stuff to see?
Nothing to see, you know, but like there was...
Well, you could see the big crater, right?
We did some fun things, like when, you know, we would go to White Sands, New Mexico, which is amazing. And my uncle, my mom's youngest brother, is only 8 years older than me. So it was, I kind of had a little bit of a playmate until my brother got older. It was a lot of driving. And my mother used to, if she listens to this, admit it. But I mean, you get tired and cranky and are we there yet? And I'm hungry and I'm
my
thirsty and all that.
Who's kicking my seat? God damn it.
And I'm not touching you.
Stop touching me. Stop touching me. I'm not touching you.
I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. And you're like a centimeter away from your sibling's face. And that was me because I was older. But like when I was a little kid, my mom used to say, you kept saying, I'm thirsty. And she would put her hands in a cup and she would pretend to give me water. And then I would get cranky because there was no water in it. It would make me crankier.
You guys forgot to bring water? There's water's pretty free at the time.
She's drinking a beer while she's talking about not getting water from her mother.
I bet she didn't want to give you any water because she didn't want to stop
hamster bladders.
She just wanted to dehydrate you for the road trip over the summer.
Just pretend to give me water.
She's like, you're not thirsty. Use your imagination.
My grandfather used to say that to me. I'd say, I'm hot. And he'd go, think cool.
Oh, Jesus.
Buy an air conditioning, Gramps.
Well, because remember, because in the cars when we were growing up, air conditioning was not standard. So you had to roll down the windows. And boys and girls who are listening, we didn't always have electric windows. You had to reach over and crank that sucker down.
Get hot air on you going to Arizona.
Right.
You were in El Paso, Texas, where you might as well live on the sun.
I always say everybody should drive across the country once.
It'll come as no surprise to any of you guys. We did not do car trips.
What did you do, Eve?
She had tile in her bedroom so she could play jacks. And
did you have a chartered jet to take you somewhere?
No.
Oh, my God.
Did not do that. I flew as a young kid. So
where?
There was an unfortunate Disney situation. And I hope my parents aren't listening to this. I was young enough that I shared a room with my grandmother and my parents were in a connecting room. And you can get on the monorail and it took you through. And they were
You had the Contemporary. You had
Contemporary. It was a Contemporary. And there are only three hotels there. Contemporary, Polynesian. What was the other one?
I don't remember.
It was like a Disney thing. But I woke up in the middle of the night and there's noises. And I thought it was my grandmother snoring or something.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Everybody do the math on this one.
Oh, no.
My parents were happy. Very happy I wasn't sharing a room with them. Let's just say that. So we went to Disney. I think I was like, Dumbo. I love Dumbo. So that's definitely a kid's dream. My dad wanted to go on Space Mountain with me and we were about to go. And then like it started to rain right before. And I'm like, oh, no, we can't do it because it's raining.
Of course.
I know. Yeah. But I was like, no, can't do it. Also, we went on cruises and we all stayed in the same cabin. So I had like the top bunk because I'm like, top bunk. Only child. My parents had one bunk. They separated, one below, one across. And it was this teeny tiny fucking little cabin. But as a kid, I'm like, this is awesome. Because it's like, it's a party. And that there were people we were going to see. And there were going to be humans and little boys. So there was a princess cruise. And then there were just a lot of those types of things.
Like in the Caribbean. And
Caribbean.
Because that's your coast.
Yeah. And it was like out of Florida usually. But we did do a West best trip, but my parents weren't going to sit in the car and drive the whole way through.
Smart people.
I think we took a plane to at least two of the places and then drove to a couple places. But one of them was Jackson Hole.
Beautiful.
That's gorgeous.
Right. But I think I was 12 or something. And East Coast girl, up and down the East Coast, back and forth from New York all the time because it's close. I think we traveled with their friends and there's pictures with their kids who are really cute. And then me looking terrible in bad jeans with a cowboy hat.
But you weren't allowed to wear jeans.
I had jeans in this picture. Oh my God. I have to find out why that happened.
There was a deviation from the...
Because there was horseback riding involved. So you can wear the jeans on the horse and the hat, and you need a cowboy hat. But I had jeans.
That sounds really cute. Were you thinking, wow, this place is so amazing because the mountains are so much bigger and it feels so much different than the East Coast? Or was it, oh my gosh, get me back to my city life?
No, I think because it was so different. We did Jackson Hole. We did the Grand Canyon. But again, all these places, they went to really nice, like the Grand Canyon Hotel, the room looked out over the canyon.
Only did the Grand Canyon about, I'd say 10 years ago.
In your 40s, damn.
Yeah. And my mom and I took a trip. We went to Sedona and I'm like, we have to go to the Grand Canyon.
Because you're close.
I'm afraid of heights.
Oh, there's a good place to go. Well, here's the thing. You're not high. No, you're not on a mountain.
It's a really big hole.
I got as far as I could and I was like, okay, I'm done.
Oh, wow.
And I saw people, they have that little
like, walk out, the skywalk.
Yes. And it's like glass or something.
Oh, God, no. Nope.
Like we saw it. We looked at each other. We're like, okay, it's a hole.
Chris, when you take us on a tour of Chicago, she's not going up the Sears Tower.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, I'll go up, but I'm not going to go out on that little ledgy thing that has that glass thing.
Just look forward.
Put your head on the window and look down.
I thought it was fascinating because I hadn't seen anything quite like that. I think it's because of where I grew up and because most of our trips had been very different than that. It was really the only time that we sort of did a driving trip. And even it was like little driving here to there. I hope my father doesn't hear this. He wasn't good at the driving thing.
Because?
So I think it was between like Santa Fe and another southwestern place. We flew in and he rented a car and we were driving to the next place. But we came in sort of late and he didn't know the car. And he couldn't find the headlights.
Oh my gosh.
They're on the left.
And I remember it because I was always sitting in the back because only child in the back, two parents in the front. And he's like whispering to my mom, going, I don't know how to turn the lights on. We better get there fast. And we didn't get there.
He's driving like a bat out of hell. So he gets there before dark.
And didn't help because we rolled up like mafiosos because the lights were out. And it was lucky that he got there. And this will always come up in the annals of my family. It's like, do you remember when you didn't know how to turn on the goddamn lights?
What does he say now? Like when you remind him, does he just
like, oh, that didn't happen. It was one of those big cars back in the day. I was 12 years old and he kept looking. And I guess because men don't ask questions. And my mom is screaming. It cured us of road trips.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
But that actually brings up sort of an interesting thing. Do you guys remember, like, were your trips planned by travel agents or did your parents plan the trips?
Dude, you got to remember, we were going from Southern California to either Arizona or New Mexico. Right. You're just driving east. east of the 10, bye.
294 to 55 to 80 and just continue west until you hit Denver. That's it.
I-95, baby, is your friend on the east, northeast. I learned how to read a map when I was young. I was the navigator for my family forever, as soon as I could figure it out. I loved it. I loved looking at the maps. I loved trying to figure out the route and looking for stuff along the way. So I still have a love of maps to this day.
Did you ever have a triptych, Court? So Lori's like, what the fuck is a triptych?
You guys are going to make fun of me. So AAA, I requested a triptych because one of my friends and I were going to drive across the country. Okay, so backing up, a triptych, you would call AAA and you'd say, I'm going from this point to that point in the country. And they would make basically a map of where to go and show you like places to get gas, places you could stop to eat, places you could stay. And you could say, I want to go to the northern route, the middle route, or the southern route, or wherever you're going to go. And then you'd go pick it up and they would have pulled it. And it was great because it was this like thing that folded out.
Yeah.
And it was like a long rectangle. It was brilliant.
It was great.
I love those things. So I did have one requested and made, but then my friend, I was actually going to be her companion to take her somewhere and she decided not to do it. I really want to do it at some point.
Yeah, the triptychs, I think because I did East Coast, I guess we must have done some driving East Coast. My parents, every summer they'd go to Maine, but they never took me, but they would have a triptych made. I learned at an early age that that's how you plan travel. You either go to travel agent and they figure it out for you, or you go to AAA and they map it for you and tell you where to go.
They don't now. Now everything's online.
Because you just have a phone and a GPS and you don't need to know the big map that you can't.
I mean, they'll make it for you, but they don't print them up the way they used to.
Oh, so it's like digitals. Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
But AAA is amazing, by the way.
Maybe they can be a sponsor for us.
Yeah, they should sponsor us.
Season 3, AAA.
Well, but wait, I want to just be clear. Let's go back even further. Did you say they go without you?
Yes.
No.
So they went away every summer to Maine. And where did you go?
That's genius.
I stayed home with my grandmother.
That's genius.
That's a long road trip for sex for your parents, I got to say.
Yeah. Right? No, they like just had
you
it.
You don't have to go to Maine. You could just go to a hotel in downtown Philly.
Could just go to Trenton and it's fine.
They would always come back. And this was part of my summer vacation. But they came back with things that they would buy on the side of the road. Actually, I was just talking to my father about this today. One of the things they picked up on this summer trip was a weather stick. And it is a stick that goes on the side of your house. And it curves up or curves down, depending on the weather. And it is a Maine tradition.
I just want to say they went on a sex trip and they bought you a weather stick.
Well,
and
they call it also a diviner stick is called as well. So they were two pieces and you would.
And it goes like this or like this, like this or like this. I'm just saying, people.
But I was talking to my dad and he's sitting outside and he's like, it's a beautiful day. Look, the stick is up.
Well, there you go.
And rest my case.
That's a wrap on the season.
We're moving on. Do you remember what your first memorable summer travel was as a non-kid, like you did on your own, that you planned?
So summer after freshman year of college, my friend and I backpacked through Europe. When you actually backpack, like where you actually like had this great book called Let's Go.
Oh,
and it had like the cheap hotels or the cheap motels, hostels, and you get a Eurail train pass and you like hop on and off the trains and you try to find fun places. It was so great. And it's funny because it's like two girls going off to Europe, right? We'd worked for a year to like save our money for our flights and our spending money. We had a whole budget and we had these back in the day, boys and girls, you had a little card called a phone card and it had a long number on it. You prepaid it and you go to a payphone and you put the coins in and then you push in the numbers and you try to call somewhere else in the world.
Oh my God.
So we had a whole bunch of those and our parents were like, you have to check in with us every day and all this stuff. So we fly to Zurich because that was the cheapest flight when we get there. And like within 48 hours, I think we broke every single rule that had been laid out for us.
Of course.
We were like talking to strangers. We got in someone's car. We went to a different place. We changed our hotel and like had the greatest time of our life. It was like one of those life-changing experiences, being on your own and figuring stuff out. And you know, all the travel falls apart and the hotel reservations don't work. Or you just have to like be kind of scrappy.
Yep.
And you're always trying to get with some of the locals so you can find out where like the good food is at the inexpensive restaurant that's off the beaten path. I remember one time we'd gone all the way down through Italy to Corfu and then had come back and there'd been some troubles with the trains and we were on this overnight train because if you did the overnight train, you didn't have to pay for a room. So you save some money and you weren't in like the sleeper fancy coaches. You're just in the regular seats. And we got all the way up to the top of Italy and we were going to get off at Genoa. Like, let's just stay on the train. And so we got back on the train and we took it all the way to Biarritz, France. And we didn't know like Biarritz was super fancy. We just knew, oh, let's go to the beach. During that train ride, someone stole our American Express traveler's checks. Because back in the day, you'd have traveler's checks.
Yeah.
So to get refunded, you had to get a police report. So we went to the police station. And when we were at the police station, we met all of these young men. And they gave us the list of all the places to go and the best bars and the best restaurants. Oh my God, it was fantastic.
That left a serious impression.
Sometimes when you don't follow the plan, unexpected fun things happen.
I don't do well under those circumstances. So
you might be surprised.
No.
Come backpacking with me.
Oh, no, not doing it, sweetie. Sorry.
You go backpacking again at this age?
Oh my God, in a heartbeat.
Really?
I got to sleep on the bed at this point.
Okay, yeah. We got
camping. It's not camping.
I know.
It's glamping. She glamps.
No.
I'm saying when I say backpack, like I'd want to stay in a nicer hostel, but.
Would you really stay in a hostel?
I'm fine. I mean, look, who wouldn't prefer a nice hotel? For me, the travel's more important.
Okay.
So like if I didn't have any money and that was the only way I could travel, of course. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So Chris, was that your experience when you could like do your first travel? Like once you were free of the family?
I'm trying to think. I've had two, I don't want to say disaster stories, but I didn't travel right after undergraduate because I went straight to graduate school. So it was sort of 8 years of college and then I started working. So it was probably the mid-90s again before we went to Europe and we planned it out. We were going to meet our family in Salzburg. So we said we're going to fly to Frankfurt. We'll take the train to Prague and then we'll hang out in Prague and then we'll go to Salzburg. We got on the plane. I got sick on the plane.
Oh no.
So I have like the flu or something like that. Plan was we're going to spend the day in Frankfurt. Then we'll get an overnight train with a sleeper car to the Czech Republic. We were just like falling down on our feet at this point because we've been on for a long time. And well, you got to reserve those things, kids.
Oh shit. Yeah.
I didn't know that. So we ended up, I'm like, I went down. Okay. You don't have those. Well, we'll take first class. No.
Oh.
Well, what's available? Second class smoking.
Oh. Okay.
That's all we could do. So we got on there and they were still stopping people at borders and checking your passports. It was a completely sleepless night. There were soccer hooligans on the train.
You call it a hooligan.
Yeah. Or football hooligans, as they say, who had broken into the bar cart and the lounge and had stolen all the beer. And there was lots of smashing and things going in the cart next to us. And my wife said, "You have to do something about this. We're not sleeping. This is just fucking ridiculous." So I sheepishly said, "All right, I'll get up and see what I can do." And I got up and I went to the next compartment and I looked in and I said, "Now we're going to live with the noise." We couldn't sleep. So we took belts and tied up the armrest so we could finally sleep. And we get to Prague and we go to the hotel and we're like, we have an early check-in. They're like, "Your room's not ready." And so, okay. So we're going to walk around for a while. There's a nice Jewish cemetery there. And we walked around the river and we're sitting by the riverbank. And I said, "Let's go back and try the hotel." And my wife said, "If we go back there and our room is not ready, I literally lose my shit. I will not be responsible for anything that happens. So if we're going to do this, you better be sure that that room is ready."
And there are no cell phones, so you couldn't call ahead. No.
So thankfully we got there and I'm just like, "I don't care which room it is. I don't care if it hasn't been cleaned. Give us a room now." We had been up for like 36 hours.
Oh my God.
And by the time I dropped the bags and went in and like brushed my teeth, came back, she was asleep on the bed.
Yep.
Just there you go. Poor baby. Gone. So,
and she didn't divorce you.
I always say, if you can travel with somebody and get through any of the bumps and the irritations and whatever, and the things that go wrong, and still have a good time.
That's a keeper
for sure.
I have sort of a mixed story because my junior year, I went abroad for study and then hit a couple places. Right. And one of which was Edinburgh because they invited our theater program to go and do a show at the Fringe, which was amazing, amazing. Back in London in my program, my friends were like, the wall is playing this weekend and it's just in Berlin. Let's go. And I'm a planner. So everything was usually very organized. They're like, "Let's just go." And I'm like, "No, we can't do that." They're like, "Yeah, we can just do that." And because it was East and West Berlin, Germany, we flew into Hamburg. So we organized that part, but then everything fell apart. And it's like, maybe we don't need to do this. And they're like, "We're here. It's Pink Floyd, the wall at the wall." I'm like, okay. And so I listened to them and it was a great experience because that concert at the wall is iconic, but everything around it was a fucking nightmare. We didn't have a hotel in Berlin and we sort of didn't plan for the big concerts. So you didn't, these days you bring water, you bring whatever. We didn't plan anything. So we're sitting in dirt watching the show and then it was over and then you got to go someplace. So we said, "Oh, we'll just get back on the train." But you're in East Germany, 3 19-year-old white girls in East Germany. We slept on the train station floor. These Germans aren't happy about that. So we woke up to German shepherds in our face.
Oh,
and we're like, get on a train, go to West Germany. It'll be better in West Germany. Not that much better in West Germany. By the time we got back to Hamburg and could have a shower, it was 36 hours. So I think that cured me of never planning.
Your expectations are too high. You're going to have an adventure. It's a 36-hour adventure. The whole goal is to see this amazing concert, have that amazing experience, and all the rest of it is just part of the story. It's part of the tale of your adventure.
But as a kid, I was used to very structured travels. I'm like, okay, this is a new me. We're going to have someone else plan it. And they didn't plan it. I didn't ask any questions. And I just sort of rolled with it. And I'm like, yeah, that cured me. I'm never doing that again. I'm 51 years old. And because of that event, I will always plan my travel. And if something goes belly up, I'm like, fuck, now what do I do? So I'm not good at that. I can't roll on my feet like you do.
I mean, at least you're honest about that.
Do you guys think that's because of how we grew up and our age that we are those types of adventurous kind of travels? Not me. I'm obviously... I'm not a good one. But the rest of you guys sound like you'll just sort of roll into things. Is that because of being Gen X? Or do you think that's just because of personality or age or none of the above?
I think Courtney and Lori alluded to it and you did too. It's having the ability to know how to improvise. Like go to a place and go, "I don't know where I am. And my phone just died. And what do I do? I'll figure it out."
Yeah. Yeah. Because when we were traveling as young people and young adults, we didn't have a GPS system.
Right.
No. You had to like phone ahead. You didn't have the web. You can email your plan. Like you'd call ahead or write ahead to some place to say, "Hi, I'd like to reserve a room." And then like we would get off the train, hop onto a payphone, call them, have like little phrases of whatever language we need to do to make to confirm the room. And if they said, "No, I gave it up," we have to find somewhere else to stay. Oh. For me, that's part of the adventure. That's the enjoyment of the travel because that element of discovery says a lot of times there's a happy accident.
Yes.
I wonder if my neuroses came because my parents were big planners down to the point that my mother still, if I'm taking a plane, she doesn't understand that you don't have to call to reconfirm.
That's adorable.
And then she'll say something like, it's Mercury retrograde, so everything is wrong. So you got to call and reconfirm your flight. And I'm like, I checked in online, Mom. It's fine. Call them.
Oh, that's God. So cute. Now you check in online.
And I got to say that it's a relief as a grown-up to have some of these travel tools, because then you can enjoy the travel. That the organization stuff sort of is easier to do. But as a kid, I guess I didn't see a whole lot of it, because it must have fallen apart for them. I didn't see too many failures, with the exception of the lack of the headlights in the car. But obviously my parents did, because otherwise my mother wouldn't keep saying that to me 40 some years later.
They used to have this thing. We took one early trip to Ireland. This was in the 90s. And you could either book it by a self-drive, they called it, or by bus. And I said, well, we'll do the self-drive because we got to do that. And this is before the Chinese had invested in Ireland, before they had the recession. And everything was still two-lane roads. But you would basically get a book of like being B's. So you'd fly in, you book your first one. And then the rest of the time, it was just like, we're going to go to Tralee or to wherever. And you would just call ahead and start calling, seeing if they had a room. And if they didn't, you just had to keep driving. But it was delightful. It was delightful, that sort of unexpected kind of experience.
That is a Gen X trait that I did not get, I have to tell you. I'm jealous of people who can do that. Can you do that, Lori? Can you just sort of roll with stuff and things change?
I need a home base, but then if something goes awry, I can hang. I need to know that I'm going to have somewhere to stay.
That's fair.
Good at this, like, oh, I'll land and decide. No.
I'll sleep in the car.
No. But if there's a slight inconvenience, I'm okay.
I think you're right. Maybe that's breaking it down. Knowing there's a place that you can check in and have a room, to me, is really important to have at least that nailed down. And maybe that's the way that our travel was when I grew up. There was always a place to land, and I never had to question it. So once things go sideways, it's like, wait a minute, you served me a bill of goods as a kid, and now you're not making good with it. Outside of being sort of a young adult, anyone have a favorite trip over the summer? Did you have any fun places that you would go back to or that you like or had a good experience?
So I went on my first cruise when I was 21. Weird. I'm on the West Coast, so it was out of San Pedro. And of course, it was like Mexico. I had more fun than I knew what to do with.
Because it's just one big traveling party.
It was just
you always have a bed to sleep in.
Because your bed travels with you.
Right.
And you never have to pack and unpack.
I had the best time. And then on my 30th, I went on another one. And then I was like, I'm done. I'm not cruising again.
So between 21 and 30, you fell out of love with having a bed to travel with you.
I fell out of love with cruising.
Yeah, why?
Because I would look out there, like, if we were out on the water for a couple of days, that's all there was water. Wait. It was like, oh my God, if something happens, I'm the fatalist.
Okay. Wait a minute. Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah. So this is after the movie Titanic came out. Attitude towards cruising changed.
Something happens. But I did have this really, really, really amazing experience. A friend of mine, she was dating a gentleman who was quite a bit older, like 30 years.
Oh, God.
And he was extremely wealthy, and he had his own 112-foot motor yacht.
So she didn't go on a cruise ship. She went on a yacht.
Private yacht.
That's officially a yacht.
I went on a private yacht. We were out in the Caribbean for 7 days. We had our own private chef, and there was more staff than there were passengers. It was her, me, and her dad came.
And the boyfriend.
Three of us. Nope.
Boyfriend's boat, and you went without him. Oh,
we had jet skis. We had a 19-foot playboat that would just like go off the edge of the boat into the water. And they would pack up all of our lunches for us. And we were eating lobster at night. And I mean, we'd come back from being out on the playboat, and I kid you not, you guys, the staff would have dirty martinis waiting when we got back onto the yacht.
You had a 5-star service, baby.
Never
amazing.
Again. Never again can you give me shit about my jack space and my tile.
Okay, but I wasn't the one dating him. She was. It was so fun, you guys. That sounds like the best vacation.
Those of you listening, if anybody's a sugar daddy looking for some love and have a yacht, call Lori.
We've all come from some interesting travel backgrounds. We all know what happened to travel this past year. Did anyone have travel planned before lockdown happened?
Yes.
And what? So
oh,
what
I
happened?
Had so much travel planned for 2020 and everything just got canceled.
Yeah. Everything. Absolutely.
Everything canceled. I was actually going to meet one of our classmates in New York City to go have like a weekend for shows. And the pandemic was folding as we were confirming our plans and trying to figure out what was going to happen. And if you read our texts, over that time, it's really revealing because we're like, hey, I heard this thing. Oh, no, it's just in China. Oh, no, it's just in Europe. And well, let me see if the plays are still going to be on, or let me see if my flight's not canceled. Like, it's interesting to see the real time narrative of whether or not we were actually going to go. But obviously we didn't.
We were planning to go to Lisbon in Spain. I was the day before. I was click, 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 click. I'm like, oh, man, I found a really good deal in Lisbon and was going to buy them the next day. Everything shut down. So we dodged the bullet on that one. And then we didn't do anything.
The four of us are finally vaccinated. Yay! The world is starting to open up a little bit more and we are moving into the summer. Do you guys have plans for travel at all?
Never go on vacation in the summer.
What? We get to the end of this episode and we hear that?
No. I go like in October.
The shoulder seasons.
Actually, I'm working.
Do you typically travel a lot for work, Lori? Like, are your events all over the country?
Yeah.
Which is sort of interesting because then travel doesn't always equal vacation.
I always try and find some fun in it.
Or find a boat that you can get on. Chris, are you going places this summer? Or is it going to be like however you feel like maybe we'll go here or drive a little further? Or do you actually have stuff planned?
I think we're just like a lot of people. There's still a sort of a tentative feeling to like not pull the trigger on anything quite yet. So I think we're just going to go slow into the summer and kind of just see how things feel. We're not doing trips where we go to Europe or Japan or down to Australia. If we do something, it's probably going to be closer just because we're not there yet.
We're going to see family this summer.
Are you going to drive? Are you going to fly?
We'll be flying.
Are you similar to Chris? Like, you haven't pulled the trigger yet, or you're actually like committing to it because you're sort of making it happen?
Well, we have a wedding to go to.
It's a weird time. Like, I'm not going to get on a plane for quite some time. I am going to travel the 2.5 hours up the coast to Philadelphia. To see my family, who I haven't seen since last January.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, Eve.
But that's it. I'm going to see how that goes because there's a train involved and there's people on the train and there's train stations and there's all that stuff that it's like you never thought about it before. You just got in a damn train and you went north. But that's...
Well, you take the Acela, it goes super fast.
It does go super fast, but there's people there.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that at least there's going to be some going a little further afield. Maybe next summer vacations will be where you have sort of international and real events that happen and we can let Courtney go run wild through some sort of field where things happen that you don't plan for.
That would be exciting.
Almost make me want to go on an adventure.
I'm going to take you on an adventure one day. Oh, I will. God. We will be sure to have comfy beds.
There you go.
Totally planned. Yeah,
go. Planned ahead.
Then we'll go and like have some opportunities, right?
Okay. As long as we can do that. I love the fact that really the four of us represent lots of different experiences with travel across the board. I think that we got the cheerleader in Courtney. We have the get off my lawn with Chris.
No, I love traveling. Come on. I love traveling. I absolutely. The only thing I spend my money on is travel. That's
okay.
It. As you can see, that's the only thing we do that we really sort of take the time and blow it out a little bit.
The fraidy cat.
And the fraidy cat. And then me, who just likes to plan everything within an inch of its life. That is it for us this week. Thank you for listening to Gen X Stories. Drop us a note at hello@GenXStories and we may do some shout outs on a future episode and into next season. You can also subscribe to Gen X Stories on your favorite podcast app, follow us on Instagram at Gen X Stories, or join our ever-growing Facebook group. We all have a Gen X story. What's yours?